I think we'll make a start. We're getting towards the end of our Sunday school year. Our numbers are getting a little bit thinner. That's okay. We have one more after this, and we won't, in fact, finish the Lord's Prayer. I think we'll have one left, and we won't wait the whole summer. And I was thinking perhaps I'll plan to put that in a Sunday afternoon, maybe next week or the week after, as part of the Sunday afternoon message to do the last part of the Lord's Prayer. So we have two left after today, and the last one we'll do most likely during the afternoon worship. We'll do incorporated in our message for that. So welcome to God's house, and we're on lesson number 5 of the Lord's Prayer, following after the Baptist Catechism. And before we make a start, let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that as we bow before you on this your day, we can assure ourselves that great is your faithfulness, and morning by morning there is no change with you. We bless you that we bow before you in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us, who gives us open access to come and to worship you, to speak to you, being assured that you hear our prayers, for we bring them in Christ's name. Lord, bless us this morning as we study your word, and help us to pray aright as we study this prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Be with Pastor Sam, strengthen his voice and his body as he preaches in the Spanish service, and bless the word to the hearers. May your name be glorified today as your people seek to lift up your name, which is above every name. We may glorify you, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless us, Lord, and help us, we pray, by your Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. So, lesson number 5, make sure you have an outline. It's quite a long outline today. No harm in that. There's more to more points there to peg your thoughts onto and to make notes as we go along. And as promised, right at the top, a quote from John Bunyan's little book, Prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ, the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God has promised, or according to his word, for the good of the church, with submission in faith to the will of God. So the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6 and Luke 11, and the Baptist Catechism, 1695. Last Lord's Day, we observed the third petition of the Lord's Prayer in the Baptist Catechism, which is question and answer number 110. And that was, what do we pray for in the third petition? In the third petition, which is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we pray that God by his grace would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to his will in all things. In what way? As the angels do in heaven, perfectly. In our study, let me just refresh your memories, and for those who weren't here, consisted of 4 points. And by way of recap, we said what was meant by the will of God. We spoke about God's secret decree, his decretive will, or his will, his secret will, and his revealed will, which is the scriptures. And we don't pray that we may do his secret will, because that belongs to God. And we noted that even Christ on earth, as the Son of Man at that time, did not know certain things that God knew, like the hour that Christ would come again. Secondly, what do we pray for in these words? Your will be done. We pray for active obedience, and we pray for passive obedience. In other words, submitting to that which God afflicts upon us in his providences, patiently in what he afflicts. So that too, we submit to God's will. Thirdly, what do we show by doing God's will? We show sincerity of profession. We can say we follow Christ and we love Christ, but unless we do his will, there's no sincerity there, just hypocrisy. And we spread and promote the gospel by doing his will. We show our love to Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And then fourthly, how is God's will to be carried out by us on earth as it is in heaven? Matthew 6:10, and we noted how the angels continually, perpetually, habitually quickly, immediately, perfectly do the will of the Father. And this is what we aim for in our lives here with our remaining sin that is sometimes hard, but that is what we strive for. So that was thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So today we come to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, which is Baptist Catechism, question answer number 111. Let me remind you, there's a lovely little book, a little black small one. It has our confession of faith and the catechism in there, which is great. And it's like 10 bucks on Amazon, and there's a lot of places you could buy them. If you don't have a copy, that's a nice small copy to have. So what do we pray for in the fourth petition? In the fourth petition, which is, give us this day our daily bread, we pray that of God's free gift, we may receive a competent portion of the good things in this life and enjoy his blessing with them. And that's important when we ask God to bless the food. Unless his blessing is on the things that he gives us, they will be of no use, no value to us, that loss. So I've put in here also the Orthodox Catechism by Hercules Collins. We mentioned that in the beginning. It's also a particular Baptist confession, and just by way of comparison, and that's from question 144 in an Orthodox Catechism, which is based on the Heidelberg Catechism, as you know. And there it says, what is the fourth petition? And the answer comes, give us this day our daily bread. We ask that you give us everything that is needful in this life, that by these things we may acknowledge and confess you to be the only fountain from where all good things flow. Put it so well. And we also confess that all of our care and industry and even your own gifts are unfavorable and harmful to us unless you bless them. Grant that in turning our trust away from all creatures, we place and rest in you alone. So as you can see, just in these two answers, there's a lot there when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Matthew 6:11. So I'm following today the outline of the Heidelberg Confession commentary, and we're going to study this by just asking and answering six questions. And they're in your outline, and there's sub-points under them. You could follow along, or you can just listen, or you can make some notes if you please. And the first question is this: why should we pray for temporal blessings? Why should we pray for temporal blessings? And you may frown at this and say, well, that's a strange question to ask, but there are many people who have the attitude, which is from a biblical principle, that we work, and we work in order that we can eat. And so we toil and labor and earn our bread for ourselves and our families, since this is God's way. God has always intended us to be workers. Workers of creation ordinance, as the New Testament makes that clear too, that we ought to work. And we should not and cannot expect God or others to take care of our basic needs if we are able and yet unwilling to work. So you may say, so why should we pray for our daily bread? We commanded to work so that we can eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even if we, when we were with you, says Paul, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. And if this is the principle that applies to all people, not just to believers, need we really pray for our daily bread? The truth is, and I'm sure you all know this, the answer is yes. The fact that whether we work for our living or are taken care of by family or by others because we cannot work, or whether our sustenance comes directly from the hand of God, like the manna in the wilderness, the children of Israel, you may remember, every day went out and there was bread from heaven in the wilderness. Whatever means that is, everything is from God's hands. And if you say, I had a brother-in-law back in South Africa before he was a believer, he has passed now. My sister says, let's pray. And he would say, here we work for our food, we don't pray for it, which is a horrible thing to say. And he came to understand the truth and the importance of recognizing that everything we have whether by labor or by a free gift or by manna from heaven, comes from God's hand. 1 Chronicles 29:14, it's in your notes, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly, for all things come from you and of your own, and of your own have we have given you. Ecclesiastes 2:24, there is nothing better for a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. And so to answer the question, why should we pray for temporal blessings? I've got some sub-points there. God commanded it. God commanded it. And that should be enough. Jesus said, pray after this fashion. Give us this day our daily bread. We have a warrant for asking for temporal blessings from God. Things that are needful in this life, both in a general and a special command. You remember Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. That is a general command for everything that we ask God for. And of course, here in the Lord's Prayer, we have a more specific command to pray in this way, or to include these things in our prayers, or after this fashion, we should shape our prayers. And the fourth petition is that we should ask God for daily bread, our temporal blessings from God. God commanded it, secondly, because of the promise of God. God has promised to give us all things necessary for our life. And he has promised them in order that we may desire and pray for them. We have the firm confidence that we will obtain all things necessary for us. Matthew 6:32, the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And as he feeds the birds of the air and clothes the flowers of the field, promises to take care of us. It's a legitimate prayer to ask God for that which he knows we already need. And he says, pray for it. Pray for it. That his temporal blessings fall on both the just and the unjust. Which leads us to the next point, thirdly, on account of the glory of God. Why should we pray for our daily bread on account of the glory of God? It's acknowledgement, isn't it, of our profession and of the providence of God, especially to the church. God desires that all praise, glory be given to him for everything that we receive, for they come from his hand. He is the source of all good things. Nothing comes to us by chance. And that's the way the world thinks. If I'm wealthy or if I'm poor, it's all just chance. But nothing comes by chance. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What does James 1:17 says? Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And fourthly, we should pray for our daily bread out of necessity, because we need daily bread. Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9, remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither riches nor poverty. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane your name. In Genesis, Jacob's vow, Genesis 28, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear. We cannot do without our daily bread in order to do the will of God. On earth, we need our basic necessities. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth, forevermore. That's Psalm 115. And then, fifthly, for our comfort, we pray for our daily bread, for our own comfort, or that we will know that the church will always be preserved on earth. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we comfort ourselves with this thought that Christ loves his church, that he will preserve his church. And there's a psalm somewhere written that says, I have yet to see the child of God beg for bread. Well, that's why we ought to pray for our daily bread. The second question, let's move to the second question. In what manner are temporal blessings to be prayed for? In what manner temporal blessings to be prayed for? All things good, all things promised in the gospel, as well as our daily bread, ought to be sought and prayed for. And how are we to pray for these? Well, from faith, to start off, from faith, with confidence in the promise of God, even as we pray according to his will. And this is a prayer we can pray according to his will, from faith, with confidence in the promise of God, and then with the condition of the will of God. As we observed last week, our prayers ought always to be, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You remember 1 John 5:14, we've quoted a few times, this is the confidence we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, it's important to note that God hasn't prescribed in his word what temporal blessings he will give to us. So as we pray for our daily bread, we pray in that attitude of thy will be done, for he will give to us what pleases him and what is will be to his glory. Let's remember here what is important, which are the greatest blessings that we should seek. These are spiritual blessings, spiritual blessings. These are promised and are sure in the Lord Jesus Christ. As surely as God will take care of our temporal needs as believers, the spiritual needs in Christ Jesus are promised and secured. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And these are paramount. These are more important than our daily bread and having a new dress and a new tie or whatever our personal desires may be. We are to ask for these things that we may serve God and our neighbors when we ask for our daily bread, and not to satisfy our personal desires. In fact, we read in Ephesians 4:28, let the thief no longer steal, rather let him labor doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with the one who is in need. So when we pray for our daily bread, it is to this end that we serve God and that we serve our neighbors. And in the bulletin, there's a quote, which is not in your notes, and you can look at that later, how even in asking for our daily bread, we should have spiritual ends in sight. When we pray for our daily bread, we do so with a view to serving Christ. One of the ways we can do this, his provision for us, is not only to take care of ourselves and our families, but those in need, especially the household of faith. And this is God's gift to us, what he gives to us, and it is in order that we can help others in need. Romans 12:13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. So when we pray, give us our daily bread, we are praying some measure of responsibility onto us if we want to pray according to his will. It's interesting to note where Paul speaks about, and I think Pastor Sam preached recently on this, in speaking of widows that are to be taken care of in the church, and he says, but they must be widows indeed. In other words, they must truly be alone, they must have no family. But listen to the other qualifications, 1 Timothy 5:10, and these widows that are widows indeed, and having a reputation for good works, if she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. That is what we pray, according to God's will, that we will do when he gives us our daily bread. Wonderful. Question number three. Why does Christ use the term bread? Why does Christ say, pray that we may have our daily bread, to signify, as I'm sure you've already realized, all our temporal blessings? Two things to note here. Firstly, Christ is using the term bread to signify all our temporal blessings. The material things that we actually need in life, food, water, shelter, clothing, health, and civil peace, all the things that we need to live a quiet life on earth. And it's quite common in the Hebrew language to use a single word to have a broader meaning. So not just what is needful for sustenance and survival, but all things profitable to us. Genesis 3:19 uses the same kind of word. By the sweat of your face you shall eat your bread. What it means in all areas of life, things are going to become hard. And it's not just for your bread, but in all that you need, you're going to sweat to get it. That's why we all work every day and have to work. And secondly, Christ uses the term bread, understanding of all temporal blessings, to teach us to pray for things necessary for the support of life. Because at the end of the day, if we had nothing, but we had bread and water, we can survive. And so, in a sense, Christ is teaching us to pray, not to satisfy our lusts and demands and excesses, but we ought to pray that he would give us enough to sustain ourselves, to serve him, and to help our neighbors. So we pray not for great riches, but only for things that are necessary to us, so that whatever these things be that God gives us may become as bread to us, necessary for sustenance, service to God, and to others. What we desire and pray for is that in God giving us bread, he would accompany it with his blessing, and then only can it be true bread to us. Listen to 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 10, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's through the craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. And I'm sure every one of you at some time have thought, if only I had untold riches, if only I could buy whatever they want. The Bible warns us, these bring misery. And so Christ is also teaching us to pray for what is needful in this life. And in the 21st century, in truth, we may be considered truly rich if we enjoy a sufficient amount of the things necessary for the support of life. If you think of Africa and China and India, places of great poverty, and even some places in the United States, but we see also that the Lord does give an abundance to some, both the wicked and the righteous, and to others just enough to sustain them. And that the world, by American standards, we would call poor, if we just had enough to sustain ourselves. Proverbs 38, remove from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. We carry a responsibility that should God give to us generously, besides what is actually necessary for ourselves, we should use these things properly or preserve them for future good and necessary purposes. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ when he fed the 5,000. What did he do right after that? Most people were just going to leave and go home, most likely. But Jesus said, gather up everything that's left and keep it. There were 12 baskets full of food there. That's John 6 and 12. We also have the example of Joseph, who, knowing a famine was coming, laid up provisions in the time of plenty. Yes, so we pray for our daily bread, for what we need for now, but we must also provide for our retirement. We must take care of the future thing, and it's good and proper to want to leave something for your children and for any who survive you also. In fact, the Apostle Paul addresses this in 2 Corinthians 12:14. Here for the third time I am ready to come to you, he says, and I will not be a burden, for I seek not what is yours, but you. For children are not obligated to save for their parents, but parents for their children, indicating that it's a good thing to even leave something where the Lord enables you for your children and for those that may be left in need. So when God does give us provisions over and above what we need to take great care in these things, where God provides for more than we need for the day. And here are three principles here, just very quickly. I think there are in the notes. First of all, that we do not put our trust in accumulated possessions. And if you have coming towards the end of your working life, you have your pension ahead of you, and you've taken good care of that, and you know that you can, provided there's no major disasters, etc., you can live fairly comfortably for the rest of your life. And that is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But not to put trust in accumulated provisions. We need only think of the parable of the rich fool. Remember that man, wealthy man who did well, and he built bigger barns, and he tore them down, and he built even bigger ones, and he said, soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy what you've done. And what happened? God said to him, you fool, this night your soul would be required of you. Second principle, we are to avoid luxury and every abuse of the gifts of God. We are to avoid luxury and every abuse of the gifts of God. The scriptures have made clear, we've said it over and over again, that all good things come from God's hand. Times of need and times of plenty. Take each as a careful lesson. Enjoy the fruit of your labor. Proverbs tells us that. But avoid extravagant excess. Overindulgence of pleasures and luxuries can ensnare us. Love for the world and the things of the world have a way of making us loosen our grip on the love for God and serving Him. And that's why Paul warns and he says, don't desire to be rich. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. We avoid luxury and the abuse of every good gift. Yes, there's nothing better under the sun, says Solomon, than to eat, drink, and to enjoy your labors. And this too, he says, is from the hand of God. But remember, with more gifts come more responsibility. Third principle, we should always view ourselves as stewards of God's gifts. So if you've been blessed by God and He's provided abundantly for you because you've worked hard or because you've inherited some money or whatever other means, and I hope not the lotto, that certainly isn't a legitimate prayer or a legitimate purchase, but we should always view ourselves as stewards of God's gifts. God has committed these things to our charge to use properly for our own benefit, yes, and care for our family and for the service of God and for the care and the provision of those who are without, particularly those in the church. We need to exercise great care that the way that we use what God has entrusted to us are in His name and for His glory. And we need to remember, now quickly we seem to forget sometimes, that the first fruits belong to Him. I've had a great windfall, you say. I've had a great windfall. Did you tithe? Yes, I did. What about the windfall? The first fruits belong to Him. It's a great sin when God blesses us abundantly and we neglect our tithes and offerings. And it's a great sin, brothers and sisters, when God provides us just what is enough and we neglect our tithes and our offerings, because everything is from the hand of God. Why would we withhold our thanks to him. God doesn't need our money, but he tells us to give him our first fruits in thankfulness to him. And this is part of being a good steward. Perhaps you think you're a great steward and you donate to charity, you give to there and you give to them, but you neglect your tithes and your offerings. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce. We good? Question number four. Why does Christ call it our bread? Why does Christ call it our bread? He doesn't tell us to call it his bread, though these things come from him, and we're not even to call it my bread, since I work for it, or any man's bread, but the prayer says our bread. Well, I've got some sub-points. God gives us bread for the support of our life. When we receive a gift from someone, we call it ours. And I always make the joke, there's one thing worse than theft, and that's taking back the gift that you've given to somebody. It's a gift. And when someone gives you a gift, he says, it's mine. It's ours. It's ours. God gives us the bread allotted to us, that which he has designed to give us. And God, as the householder, distributes to everyone his portion of that which we deserve at his hand. We recognize that all we receive is from his kind hand. James 1:17 reminds us again, the good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, who there is no variation or shadow to change. And 1 Timothy 4, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is to be received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. He gives us bread for the support of our life. Second, he gives us bread for our sustenance, that we may desire what is necessary and acquired by lawful labor and an honest and proper calling. Brothers and sisters, these are important principles for us, and they're great lessons here for us too. And the American way, isn't it? The American way, what does it say? A quick buck. Go there. It's like getting free money. Get there and do this. It's easy money. This is American and this is Western thinking. Even better if we could accumulate wealth for free without working for it. And the world would say to us, now that's smart money. He got it for free by scheming. But that's not God's way. That's not the creation design. When we pray, give us today our daily bread, we ask that God would give us what is pleasing to him, what is for our good and our sustenance, what is for the benefit of those round about us to share with those in need. A desire to win the lotto is not a legitimate desire or prayer, even if we can sanctify it or think we can sanctify it by saying, thy will be done. Go to the history of those who have won great riches for free. It never ends well. God calls it our bread, that may we use it with a good conscience and with thanksgiving. It's given to you. You're the steward. The scriptures make it clear that we to have the assurance that what he gives us, he also grants us the privilege to enjoy. God desires that we should use his gifts, not as thieves and robbers, but cheerfully and with thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians 4, we know it so well, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4:19, it's in your notes, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Jesus Christ. To our God and Father be glory forever. Let's move on to question number five, just two to go. Question number five, why does Christ call it daily bread? Why does Christ call it daily bread? God calls the bread we are commanded to ask for daily bread because we have to ask daily, because we must ask for as much as needed for every day. in Jesus' teaching in Matthew 6, where he goes on to teach his disciples not to be anxious about tomorrow, as the Heavenly Father takes care of the birds and clothes the flowers, he cares for us one day at a time. And that is what we ask for. And that is why we have to pray this prayer every day. And in this context, the last verse of chapter 6, in Matthew 6, I think it's verse 31, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Because we have to ask daily as much as we need for every day. Secondly, he calls it daily bread so that he may restrain our endless, boundless desires. Don't we find this so often when we come to pray? We have these long lists wanting the Lord to bless us in so many different ways. And let's just be careful. This prayer teaches us to pray this day for our daily bread, what we need for this life right now, and to curb our restraints, our endless, boundless desires that we have. Matthew 6:32, your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. Psalm 37:16, better is a little that his righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. Psalm 34, verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. Last question, question number 6. We have some time, so if you have questions, you may want to raise those. Question number six. Why does Christ add this day? Why does Christ add this day? Well, similar to the one preceding, Christ would have us pray for this day one day at a time. Give us this day our daily bread. First of all, so that we would guard our hearts against lack of faith and covetousness. So that we would guard our hearts against lack of faith and covetousness. When we ask God, Lord, please take care of the month ahead of me. Lord, the year ahead of me. Lord, perhaps I can get a lot of money because the stress is killing me. No, he asks us to ask bread this day, every day, that we may have faith and confidence in him and a lack of covetousness. And you may have worked for an employer or a company and during the different jobs you may have done. And then an employer sometimes, and it happened to me once, would offer you a weekly wage or a monthly wage. And you may be tempted to say, I think I'll take my money every week. If you don't have great confidence in the employer, then perhaps the company's not that strong and you're not sure how long they're going to be around. So if they go under on the second day of the month, I'm not going to get paid at the end of that month. So I'll take my money weekly. And so this also is a lesson, isn't it? Our confidence and our faith in God that he will supply our needs. So he teaches us to pray for this day, for our daily bread. And pensions are a good example. If you've worked all your life for this pension and it's with some pension fund and they say to you, well, you can have a lump sum, which would be a little bit less, but you get it all now in cash, or we can pay this few monthly for the rest of your life and it's going to work out to a lot more money. And if we have no confidence in the stock market or confidence in the company that has invested our money and fear, we may say, I'll take the lump sum, I'll take the cash, and I'll keep it. It signifies a lack of confidence. And so God is teaching in the Lord Jesus Christ for us to pray this day for our daily bread so that we would not lack in faith, that we would trust God and to guard us against covetousness. And then also that we might depend on him alone. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that we would in faith always expect the necessities of life from the hand of God. They are not obtained by our own hands, labor, or diligence, though that may be the means that God uses. We may know what we receive by illegal gain or unlawful means, or without acknowledgement to God with thanksgiving for all we have. These will not profit our bodies or our souls if the blessing of God does not accompany them. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we taught to rely upon the Lord's provision day by day, trusting Him alone for all things in this life and the next. And let's remember, God sustains all things by His power, upholding individuals, nations, His church, nature, and all created things. And so it is upon Him and Him alone that we trust all that we need in this life. Give us this day our daily bread. Brothers and sisters, God is not weary in giving. He delights to give. Micah 7:18, who is like you, pardoning iniquity, passing over transgression for the remnant of it is inheritance. He does not retain His anger forever because He delights in steadfast love. God even gives to His enemies. Psalm 52 verse 1, why do you boast, O evil, mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. And then a quote to finish off with, the tree of mercy will not drop its fruit unless shaken by the hand of prayer. And I don't know who wrote that. I got it somewhere. The tree of mercy will not drop its fruit unless shaken by the hand of prayer. God gives us our daily bread. Let's give Him our daily praise. Psalm 146 verse 2, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have been. Give us this day our daily bread. Any questions or comments? We have 3 minutes. I know there's a lot there, and that's why you have full notes so you can go back, and there's a lot more than we realize. A lot of responsibility, a lot of privilege when we come and we pray, give us this day, for this day, our daily bread. Well, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us in so many ways. How we thank You for the promise that You care for us. And as You feed the birds of the air, as You clothe the flowers of the field, how much more would You not clothe and feed those who love You and who call upon Your name? Oh Lord, teach us, each one of us, contentment with godliness, for this is great gain. Teach us to pray with a humble dependence on You for our daily bread every day. How we thank You that in most cases You bless us always, over and above certainly what we deserve. And how we bless You and praise You that in Christ Jesus You have blessed us with every spiritual gift in the heavenly places. Help us, Lord, to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven and not on earth, as we look forward to that day when we will walk the streets of gold and be in Your presence and enjoy Your worship and serving You for all eternity. Bless our time, bless our worship to follow. This day we pray with thanksgiving in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.